Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have Eric Collinsworth. Eric has been actively involved in the appraisal industry since 2004, and he has received a certified residential appraiser designation in 2006. During his appraisal career, he has worked on REO and high-dollar properties with the community banks in Tennessee and throughout the United States. He served in a supervisory role for a multi-billion dollar financial institution headquartered in Tennessee and was responsible for developing compliance forms, appraisal policies, appraisal reviews, trainings, and market analysis, as well as the management of the day-to-day operations of the appraisal department. In 2011, Eric formed Appraisal Advisory Associates LLC to fill the need he recognized within smaller community banks for sound advice relating to the regulatory changes in the real estate valuation portion of the industry. In addition to his appraisal review and regulatory compliance work, Eric has also held an affiliate broker's license with a real estate firm. His company, Appraisal Advisory Associates LLC, has partnered with a Nashville-based appraisal management company to provide full appraisal management services to community banks, and he has also co-founded Valuation Compliance Services LLC to provide community banks with a reliable source for internal real estate evaluations through their Evolve VCS platform. With his wealth of experience and knowledge, we are excited to welcome to the show. Eric, welcome to the episode today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks, Daniel.
So, Eric, I always like to start by asking my guests, how did you get started in this wonderful financial sector to begin with?
Absolutely. I actually came into it from an appraisal background. I had studied and gotten my certified residential appraiser's license back in 06. And then shortly after that, I met a lady who asked me if I'd ever done any review work. And I said, no, I have never put any thought into it. So, yeah, so she got me into reviewing appraisals. And she said, Eric, I'm actually kind of retiring. And there's a big bank in Nashville that I do a lot of review work for. Would you be interested in doing those reviews? So kind of started out part-time doing that. But then I eventually went to work full-time for that bank in that role. I kind of served the role of a chief appraiser and did that for a few years. But then I kind of saw the industry really needed a little more guidance out there on appraisals, requirements, real estate valuation. So then I left there and started Appraisal Advisory Associates, primarily to serve as a role of reviewing appraisals and then also educating banks on interagency guidelines, compliance, and stuff like that.
So give me an idea. What is, I know you said appraisal review. What is an appraisal review? What does that entail?
Sure, absolutely. Basically, and it's always fun to explain it to anyone who asks me, what do you do? A bank will send me an appraisal report, and then I'll look through it and review it for compliance, make sure the comparables are, appropriate comparables and stuff like that. And I work with the appraisers and the banks jointly to make sure that if there are any issues with the appraisal, we get them taken care of. A lot of people don't know it, but for federally related transactions, when you get an appraisal done, before you the loan closes, you have to have a review done on the appraisal. So that's me. I basically stand in front of my computer and just read appraisals all day long.
Make sure that the appraisal is accurate, that it's up to date, that it's a quality appraisal. You check all those boxes, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Perfect. So then I do have one more question just about your background. I know we kind of started at 2004. Do you mind if I ask, what did you do before you got into appraisals?
Actually, before that, I installed high-speed wireless internet. Back then in 2002, 2003, That was kind of a happening thing back then. And that's what allowed me to fall into the industry, to become an appraiser. The hardest part of it is finding a sponsor. And any appraiser will tell you that, because basically you've got to train under someone who you'll end up being competition with out there in the industry. So the last wireless internet that I installed was for an appraiser. And I told him, I said, you're going to have to find somebody else to maintain this. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm going to do something else. And he said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. He said, well, how about if I bring you on and train you as an appraiser and you maintain my wireless internet? I said, that sounds like a deal for me, but that's what got me into it.
That's a fantastic story. I love that. Not only did he get you to maintain that internet for him, but he also brought you into the industry.
Well, he gave me a career. That's absolutely great. Yes.
Well, then let me kind of transition a little bit back to what we had planned today. We talked a lot about appraisal bias and reconsiderations of value, and obviously with your appraisal background, I think these are perfect avenues, perfect things to discuss. So first, let's start with appraisal bias. What is appraisal bias?
Appraisal bias is basically discrimination potentially in the appraisal report. There are key phrases, key words that can be inserted into a report. And sometimes appraisers don't even realize they're doing it. You know, they may be trying to complement a property sometimes these guys get into the habit of putting into their own words a description of the property, and they may not realize it, but some of those words could be construed as discriminatory. So appraisal bias.
Can you give me an example?
What's that? If you said in the safer part of town, for example.
That makes absolute sense.
Absolutely. So, you know, they may be trying to insert a compliment, but if it's taken the wrong way, it could be considered as discriminatory. So that is where appraisal bias has come from. And it is becoming a very hot topic among the industry nationwide.
Yeah. So then you mentioned something called PAVE, P-A-V-E. What are we talking about there?
PAVE is in 2021, President Biden created the PAVE Task Force. And that is a property appraisal and valuation equity interagency task force. It's a mouthful. But it was actually created to promote fair, equal appraisal valuation in the industry for residential properties. There in 2022, they actually created a PAVE action plan. It's about 48 pages or 58 pages long, and it kind of overlays their plan of how they want to promote fair appraisals in the industry.
So how does this impact the industry though? So, I mean, like you said that it's going to promote fairness within the industry. I mean, like what are we looking at here? Like what is it actually doing?
Sure. Absolutely. They enforce appraisal equity through either fair housing or ECOA. Those are primarily the two main laws that enforce appraisal equity from that perspective. And then over and above that, USPAP, which is the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice, that's what the appraisers are required to follow as well. That also has additional non-discriminatory verbiage in it as well. As a matter of fact, they're about to update the new version of USPAP. It hasn't been updated. Typically, they update it every 2 years. Because of COVID, they actually delayed it. So it's been 4 years since they updated it. But you can now buy the new version of USPAP. They literally added about 2 pages in USPAP promoting being aware of discrimination and making sure that you address it properly on the appraiser's perspective.
So then what other kind of commitments does the...
Go ahead. Ask your question, Daniel.
I was going to ask, what other kind of commitments then is the PAVE task force have? Like what other kind of things are they looking at or doing?
Absolutely. Within that document, they broke it down. There's 5 different commitments. And I'll kind of read you those commitments real quick. I'll tell you what they are, and then I'll elaborate on them a little bit and kind of expand, give a little summary of what they're after. Basically, it's strengthening the guardrails against unlawful discrimination in all stages of residential valuation, enhancing fair housing fair lending enforcement and driving accountability in the industry, building a well-trained, accessible, and diverse appraiser workforce, empowering consumers to take action, and then giving researchers, enforcement agencies a better data to study and monitor valuation bias. And basically what those kind of break down into layman's terms, one of the biggest things that they're doing is they're revising the Fannie Mae forms. All of your mm-hmm. listeners that have anything to do at all with appraisals, they understand what those forms are. The form 1004,
I'm
for
sure
example,
they do.
An interior inspection. Yeah. You know, borrowers are aware of it as well. If you've ever seen an appraisal, they're actually revising those forms because as a whole, they felt like there could have been some potential for the appraisers to insert discrimination. For example, in the supplemental addendum. Yeah, in the supplemental addendum, appraisers sometimes go overboard with all of the information they put in there. Well, that's going away. They're doing away with the supplemental addendum, and going forward, appraisers will be able to answer questions on each section of the appraisal, and they can elaborate a little further there to explain that. But by removing that supplemental addendum, they feel like that might help appraisers prevent from putting, you know, discriminatory bias in there. And then also
reduce some of just the storytelling that may accompany the supplemental addendum.
Absolutely. You know, and another big one that they're doing, another big one that they're changing is they're changing guidelines and changing the way they handle safety and soundness exams. I've seen it already several times this year. They're asking the banks in advance, tell us your process for reconsiderations of value. Which we'll talk about in a little bit. But in addition to that, they want to make sure that you're letting your borrowers know about reconsiderations, letting them know about discrimination, how you're addressing it on the front end. So, and they're checking to make sure banks are getting into that. You know, another thing that they're doing is they're actually revising their requirements to become an appraiser. You know, as I mentioned earlier, when I became an appraiser, I had to train for 2 years under someone else. And I said that was the hardest part of becoming an appraiser. So they feel like that's kind of limiting how appraisers get into the industry. A lot of times you'll see appraisal firms that are family firms. So by revising the requirements to become an appraiser, you no longer have to have a sponsor, and you can actually become an appraiser through education only. I kind of think that may have an impact on the industry because –
yeah, you know, it'll be an interesting change.
It will. You know, I took all the courses, but I didn't really start appraising until I got into the field and worked with my sponsor. And he showed me, how do you measure a house? How do you do this? What if you come across this? So they're going to lose that potentially. And I kind of feel like down the road, it's going to have an impact on the overall industry.
That makes sense. So really those commitments you mentioned then, strengthen, enhance, train, educate the consumer, and comes back to data. So those five are the commitments of the task force, right?
Yes.
So then transitioning this back then to the bank, to the financial services industry itself, how can this impact banks? Like, are banks held liable for appraisal bias? I mean, it sounds like appraisal bias, it stems a lot from the appraiser themselves and how they're wording the reports. Like, how does this impact banks?
The answer to that, I hate to say it, is it depends. You know, banks could be liable. If a loan is turned down, for example, if the bank denies a loan and then for some reason the borrower gets, you know, they get a copy of the appraisal, even if the loan's denied, if they find discriminatory, in their opinion, discriminatory verbiage in the report or something, and they can turn the appraisal into the state commission. If they find and agree with that, then the bank could very well be held liable, even though that's a third party. So banks could not only be held liable if they have an in-house appraiser, if they're using a third party appraiser, even through a third party AMC, ultimately banks could still be liable for it. So, they really have to watch out.
So then what can a bank do about this? I mean, like, what Do you have any suggestions for the banks? Any ideas of how banks can respond and react to appraisal bias?
Absolutely. The first thing, over and above everything else, is make sure your fair lending and policies and procedures are up to date. Make sure you include discussion regarding non-discrimination. Make sure you properly educate anyone involved that has to do with that appraisal, whether it's your reviewers, your loan officers, your folks in loan review, any of those guys, make sure they're properly trained. You know, Fannie Mae actually has a list available, I've been told, of potential discriminatory bad words. So it's a good idea to go out to their website, do a search for those words, and make sure that your folks are looking for it. Not only that, make sure your appraisers and your AMCs, if you use an AMC, make sure they're properly trained and they know what to look for as well. And then another idea, the last one I really want to go over, is make sure your borrowers are aware of their right to a reconsideration. Make sure that they are aware that they have that right. And the banks that I work with have actually even said, I hate to say this, but you might want to add another disclosure to your loan package, letting them know that in advance, letting them know about the right to a reconsideration. And ultimately, if they're not happy with the appraisal, they want you to let your borrowers know about how to turn an appraisal into your state appraisal board.
So you say that you said reconsideration several times now. I'm assuming that when you say that, you're talking about a reconsideration of value, right? So
yes, absolutely.
For our listeners then, what is a reconsideration of value? Let's kind of start.
Absolutely. They're referred to in the industry a lot of times as ROVs. I mean, that's kind of, they've narrowed it down to an ROV. And basically what a reconsideration is when you're going back to the appraiser for any type of corrections that might potentially impact the value. Anytime you have a need to go back to the appraiser for any type of a correction, for additional comparables, anything like that, that's what's considered a reconsideration of value.
Who's going to be going back to the appraiser? Is it going to be the bank, the lending officer, the in-house reviewer, the customer? Who's going to be going back?
Anyone could build a basis for going back. You would go through the proper channels, either through the lender or your appraisal department or the AMC. So anybody could go back. Do you want to make sure when they go back, they have proper contact with the appraiser? For example,
so customer goes back to the loan officer and says, hey, like, this is wrong. Like, how's my neighborhood selling for so much more? Loan officer kind of works up the chain, reports it to the proper channels, and then eventually it gets to the proper department that handles the appraisals. And then they reach out to the appraiser and say, hey, we need a reconsideration of value.
Absolutely. For example, comparables. Let's say the borrower gets a copy of the appraisal and they say, wait a minute, hold on a minute. The house across the street just sold 2 days ago and it's not in the appraisal. So, and I've got these four other comps that my realtor helped me look up. So I want these considered. They'll go back through that, like I said, through the proper channels. They'll go back to the appraiser. And the way to properly handle that is you don't go to the appraiser and say, hey, we want you to put these four comps in the appraisal. Because now you could be trying to steer the appraiser to a value, which is also a violation. So we don't want to do that. So the proper way to handle it would be go back to the appraiser and say, hey, we've got these four additional comparables. We want you to take a look at them and let us know why you didn't use them unless you decide to revise the report. So that way you're giving them the option, hey, if you don't use them, we want to know why you didn't use them. So that way you can go back to your borrower and say, okay, here's what they said on these four comparables. You know, the first one you sent was 12 months old and all of the sales they use are 6 months old or less. The next one that you use, you know, was too far out. So they'll either explain them or they'll use them in the report, but you haven't damaged any appraiser egos when you do that. So that would be the proper way to handle this process.
And I mean, that is definitely something you have to consider as well, because like that is an element of life, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So then as far as like suggestions for the actual ROV process, you mentioned potentially like another disclosure. What other suggestions do you have around the ROV process?
Just making absolute sure you document every bit of the process in file. You know, we sent the report to the client, the client who's the borrower. The borrower was not happy with it. They found additional comparables. We sent them back to the appraiser and requested it. Just make sure you document every one of the steps, because you don't want it to come back that you didn't send them to the appraiser or something. So you want to make sure that you really have a good documentation of all the steps for the reconsideration.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. Document, document, document. I mean, that's incredibly important. So then I want to give you the chance to answer this question as well. I ask pretty much all my guests this. Eric, if you could give just one piece of advice to banks, not necessarily on appraisal, even though that's kind of your niche, but if you could give one piece of advice to banks today, what piece of advice would you give?
Be very knowledgeable of your markets right now. And the way valuation is going, new construction, information is key. I strongly suggest working with your appraisers in the industry to get market analysis reports or realtors or something to that effect. So that way you are keeping up with it. What we don't want to have again is like another 2008, where the banks were holding a lot of new constructions that went south. So just be very knowledgeable of what's going on in your market and apply that going forward in the industry for sure.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense, because that'll give you an idea of what to kind of expect when you're looking at appraisals and expect when you're reviewing mortgage and loan packages. So I completely agree with that.
Absolutely.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for joining us for today's episode. It's been a pleasure to talk to someone that has such a background in the appraisal industry.
Daniel, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
For the rest of our guests listening in, that's Banking Matters.